Hello and welcome to Ashes of the Imperium. My name is Dan, and as ever, I'm joined by the wonderful Max. And today we are talking all about the brand new Orc Codex. Max, how are you?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
I'm living the dream. Living the dream as ever. Very excited to be talking Orcs today. We were a little bit worried we weren't going to be able to fit this one into the jam-packed release window that is this weekend. So
they keep them coming, don't they?
They do, thick and fast, like a green tide of grots.
God.
clearing a minefield in front of the boys. But yes, so if you are new to the show, welcome. If you're an old sweat, a seasoned veteran, an ardent knob, if you will, we are going to be covering kind of a narrative sort of take on the codex, as well as doing our little list thing. However, if you are into Custodes, you can hop over onto a simultaneously released codex review and listen to that episode. Obviously, me being a massive Orc fan, I recommend you listen to this one first. If you're a Custodes fan, you get to experience Max's, let's say, frustrations at that book.
Yeah, very, very different reaction to the Orcs book.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because you absolutely love Custodes and you're not an Orcs player. So which one are you more excited about?
The Orc book.
That's good to hear. Good to hear.
Yeah.
And obviously, thank you to GW for sending us this codex to review so that we can get you this episode out on the pre-order window. Now, Orcs have a very special place in my heart because back when I first got into 40K, which was kind of second edition, the second edition box set was Orcs and Space Marines. Now, my brother painted the Space Marines as Dark Angels, and I got the Orcs. And so it was this sort of monopose goth boys with the spiky helmets and the monopose kind of Gretchen with the big auto guns. And just honestly, yeah, what a box.
I can remember it well. I was... I'd have been a kid. What were we back then? About six or seven or eight, something like that, weren't we?
Something like that. Oh, and I don't want to do the maths. It's scary.
No, but yeah, no, my eldest brother had that box as well. Painted up the Space Marines as Blood Angels. And yeah, I just remember those monopause Orc guys so clearly. It's I think most hobbyists around our age, Dan, they have that box set is one of their like formative memories, I think. I think most people who I speak to in the hobby around, you know, who are sort of late 30s like us, that is an experience that we all kind of seem to share.
Absolutely. With a cardboard orc. Orc dreadnought, as it was back then. Not a death dread, a dreadnought.
Yeah. What a set.
What a set. So yeah, so big fans of orcs. And I just love their vibe. They're just so silly.
Yeah, you like the silliness, do you?
I do, yeah. Like, yeah. I don't think it's too silly. But you know, the question there, you know, the fact that you've asked me that question suggests that you don't.
I think sometimes I can find it a bit jarring.
Okay.
But they are terrifying enough for me to see past that sometimes.
Yeah, I think they add a necessary sense of comic relief to an otherwise very grim dark universe. But also, they themselves are fairly terrifying.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're like they're not silly, but like you know, Nurgle, Death Guard are a bit kind of
with the dancing Nurglings and all that stuff. Yeah, Nurgle is you know jovial,
the silliest of gooses.
And don't get me wrong, like Caiaphas Kane books, they're very silly, but they're great. They're great fun. Like there is.
I mean, that's just a ripoff of Flashman, isn't it?
Yeah, basically, there is a place for brevity in Warhammer because it's a game. Like, you know, let's not take it too seriously. Yeah, I don't know. Some of the stuff around orcs, though, here we go, boys. Jars me a little bit, but I can see past it because you know there is enough in the lore that ticks other boxes for me that it doesn't bug me too much.
Fair enough. So Max, how would you describe what orcs are?
Oh gosh, I think they are one of the more unique factions in the game. So they have a very interesting ecology, I guess you would call it. They seem to multiply and breed from, well, they're like fungal, right? From spores.
Yeah.
And everywhere they go, they take with them this peculiar ecosystem. There's like three layers to it that, you know, where orcs are present, you'll find squigs. How would you describe a squig? It's like a mix between a pig and a dog and a lizard and a...
Yeah. Well, the thing is, squigs come in all sorts of shapes and sizes, don't they?
Oh, yeah,
they
have, like,
oil squigs that kind of secrete ooze for them to, like, do their, you know, guns and stuff. And
eating squigs and...
Eating squigs, yeah.
Attack squigs and...
Hair squigs, no less.
Yeah. That's awesome. And then you get little orcs who are, you know, like snotlings, grots, used to be called Gretchen, right? Snotlings are like Gretchen, but less crafty. They're like the lowest of the low, aren't they?
Yeah.
And then you've got your Gretchen who are a bit craftier. They do a lot of the kind of mechanical work and they like operate some of the vehicles, don't they? And some of the sort of artillery pieces and that kind of thing. A lot of the kind of manual, like grabbing the ammo and stuff. And then, you know, top of the society is your orcs. And they kind of organize themselves into kind of roles. So you have like your pain boys who are your, like your medics and your doctors, your mechs who, you know, build the machines. But you know, that's very interesting, isn't it, how orcs kind of technology works.
Orky-know-whats.
Yeah, exactly. And then you just got your boys who are your
just
scrappers.
Just your regular boys.
Yeah, just your boys. And like a lot of animals, the biggest and the hardest one is the boss. And the bigger and harder they get, the bigger they grow, right? So it's like a, it's like a lobster. You know, lobsters, they just kind of keep growing. Orcs will just like keep growing. And if you're the biggest and the hardest one, you're the boss. They organize themselves into these tribes. There's some really kind of well-known, beloved tribes that have been established in the lore for a long, 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 long time, but there's nothing stopping you making up your own one. There's enough kind of flavor, I think, that you could do whatever you wanted really with them, couldn't
That's
you?
That's really interesting, actually, Max. It's a really good point. You see people do custom high fleets, and you see people do custom chapters and things like that. I don't think I've ever seen anyone do a custom orc tribe.
No, I've faced a few orc armies in my time, and I don't know. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? It's a faction where the people who I've played against anyway, I'm not speaking for every orc player, they've never really lent into the established lore that much, I guess. They've just kind of put an army in front of me. And
you reckon? You know,
yeah, I think so, yeah.
Oh, no. I was going the other way around.
You've seen the exact opposite.
Yeah. So I've seen people like just take an orc army, just as an orc army, whatever. And I've seen people do like a goth army or a evil sons army. But I haven't seen someone like paint their orcs, you know, like a weird and wonderful color and be like, oh, this is a, I don't know, like a, I'm trying to think of a word that isn't death skulls now, but this is the skull cruncher clan. And, you know, their thing is they like to fly everywhere. I don't know. You know, it's an army made up of, you know, what are the helicopters called again? I can't remember now.
Defcopters.
Yeah, Defcopters. Defcopters and Jacker Jets, you know. Because if you were going to have that kind of army, you'd probably do them as evil sons and it'd be like a cult of speed.
Yeah. Maybe they've kind of ticked enough of the boxes. They've covered the bases for the various types of army in the established lore.
So if you are the proud owner of a custom orc clan, then let us know in the comments.
Yeah, please let us know. Yeah.
Or if there's someone at your local gaming store or club, whatever, that does it. Yeah, I think it'd be really cool. But yeah, so I honestly, just orcs, they're just so cool. Mm-hmm. Love them to bits. They've got two gods, haven't they? They've got Mork and Gork.
Which one's which?
well, Max, as you well know, Mork is cunning but brutal, and Gork is brutal but cunning. So
I thought it was the other way around.
Oh, well, that would be a common misconception. Mork is the kind of low-key trickster kind of one. Yeah. And Gork is the, you know, war-y, scrappy one.
How cool is the artwork in the book that covers Mork and Gork, by the way? Did you spot that?
It's sort of quite early on in the book.
Yeah. It's like, it's talking about Mork and Gork, and it's like a generic, you know, battle scene, and then in the clouds in the background are these enormous like silhouettes of an orc shape, which is just like representing the gods, and it just looks so epic. I love it.
Do you know what? I'm now looking, I see that now. I didn't see that. That's
how cool is that.
very cool. I like that they've got this kind of, you know, two-part kind of pantheon, as it were. Mm-hmm. Pantheon suggests more than two. Maybe is pantheon the right word? Anyway.
Yeah.
when I think of a pantheon, I think of like the Greek pantheon of like all these gods. The Norse. Like, yeah, I'm sure there's like a very, very specific word for a religion that has two gods. Again, if you know the answer, let us know in the comments. But yeah, I like that they've got this kind of thing that represents their kind of the two sides of them. You've got like the scraps, the dacha, the kind of skull crunching, the fighting and all that jazz. But you've also got the kind of like, you know, the mechs and the silliness and the kind of like psychic power and the cunning and the sneaking up on people and blood axe stuff. Like I just think that's cool. I just think it's cool. And that kind of that belief in the gods and the belief in themselves actually manifests itself into real life. So there's, I'm sure, you know, you'll be aware, and listeners will be aware of the really famous anecdote of the Dakar jet pilot that's like flying his Dakar jet for ages and ages and ages and never runs out of ammo because he's having so much fun. And then when he then thinks about running out of ammo or running out of fuel, his plane runs out of ammo and fuel. But because he's like, he's almost like manifesting bullets into reality through the sort of the energy of the war.
Orcs were doing manifestation before it became cool.
Absolutely. Before it was, you know, the pumpkin spice lattes and crystals. yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but like their tech
orcs, works the Huns are the 41st, the basic bees are the 41st millennium.
But now, because they want it to work, it does.
Yeah.
And because they think red goes faster, it does. It's a fun concept.
That can be represented on the tabletop in a really cool way, because if you've got an awesome conversion idea, then it doesn't necessarily need to work perfectly. You know, you don't need, if you want to cover up the ejection port of a rifle with another gun, then just stick it on. It doesn't matter that it doesn't work. Whereas I see a lot of people, when we talked about it in the Custodes episode about things being quite like tactical, you know, these days, and sort of a move towards less kind of grim dark gothic vibes and more towards kind of like pseudo modern military, that kind of thing. Like orcs are just so beyond that. It doesn't matter that it doesn't look like it works, because if they want it to work, it can work.
Yeah, I agree. I haven't been tempted to do an orc army before, but this book piqued my interest. I'll put it back. Like, I probably won't do one. I've got enough projects on the go at the moment, but it's planted a seed for who knows,
in a the spore future. If you will.
Yeah,
spore has made Planetfall.
Oh, good lord, I hope not.
what clan would you go for?
So let's
talk about the clans. You've got Goths.
Yeah.
They are like your, I don't know, like generic, they're
yeah, but they're kind of, they're the most organized warriors, would you say? They've kind of got the most martial culture in a kind of traditional sense, perhaps?
I'd kind of disagree with that. I don't think,
okay.
I think orcs
I'm no orc expert, by the way.
So. An orc expert, if you will.
Yeah.
I don't think saying they have the most martial culture is right, because they have a very martial society. Yeah. Everything is about fighting. They are so warlike as a species. So
that's why they exist, right? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And so I'll just kind of like, you know, jump on that specific word and say, no, Max. But no, I do know what you mean. They are, they have, you know, things like the Storm Boys and, you know, Nobs. Then they have perhaps a more hierarchical martial culture.
That's the word.
Yeah, let's combine those two words: hierarchical martial culture. So you have, you know, Nobs leading units, and it is more like a formed militia rather than like a kind of, I don't know, a snake bite mob of just, you know, orcs in loincloths and clubs.
Yeah, and Czechs, right? Czechs
and Czechs, black and Czechs
helmets. That's
absolutely, that's, yeah. That's and Gazgul.
And Gaz, yeah.
And Big
yeah,
Gaz.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what a dude.
Yeah. Well, he has lots of different clans under his banner, doesn't he? But Goths are like his... Was that where he started?
So he is a Goth.
Yeah.
But actually, well, perhaps... I'll touch on something about Gazgul and clans later that... That I find really interesting, and that's really exciting for me as a player. But yeah, so you've got the Goths, and they are like the kind of hierarchical martial ones, and then you've got the Evil Sons.
So they're the kind of speed freaks, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, yes, they are the ones. Red ones go faster.
Yeah.
for sure. Yeah. But there is a specific line that it says, well, it says, evil sons tend towards a nomadic nature, for they can rarely stay still or concentrate on one thing for very long. Not all speed freaks are evil sons, but the vast majority of evil sons will become speed freaks sooner or later. So you could have a goth speed freak army.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think like speed freak is more like a way of life, right?
Yeah. For the evil sons, that is how
they tend to fight. Yeah, for sure. Exactly. It's a bit like, you know, we talk about like White Scars bike armies and Raven Guard bike armies. Like you can still do an Ultramarines bike army, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But like the majority of forces that purely use bikes and speeders tend, like a large number of them tend to be from White Scars or Raven Guard, Raven Wing, Dark Eagles. Evil sons, they like to go fast, loads of trucks, loads of bikes and cool vehicles, like again, Converter's dream,
kind of very Fury Road, isn't it?
Very Fury Road, yeah, very Mad Max. Would make for an amazing, you know, conversion project.
I do love the orc vehicles as well, particularly the new buggies.
Yeah.
Like the Ruck Truck Squig Buggy or whatever it's called. Yeah. Boom Dacker Snaz Wagon.
Oh my God. I could say those names all day.
Yeah. And the planes are good as well. They're really cool models.
Maybe
I'd be tempted by Evil Sons.
Okay.
But I think I would probably go, oh gosh, I'd have to toss a coin between Bad Moons and Death Skulls.
Okay. So tell us about Bad Moons and Death Skulls then.
Bad Moons, right. Orc currency is teeth, basically. So
I spell that?
T-E-F, like a good dog meme on Instagram. Teefs. So that's what they use as their kind of currency. And Bad Moons grow a particularly large amount of teeth, particularly fast. So they are the snazzy orcs. They have the best kit and more money to go around. So
If there was an orc clan that shopped at Waitrose, it would be the Bad Moons.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think you could have a lot of fun with an army like that. There's a lot. I mean, any orc army, there's a lot of conversion opportunity, right? But I think you could have some fun trying to make orcs look less ragtag and a bit more wealthy with their in a Bad Moon one. And it's a yellow scheme as well.
It's a yellow scheme, striking, yeah. Like it. You know, it would stand out well on the tabletop. And how would you do that for Bad Moons? How would you make them look kind of rich and
so
over the top? Ostentatious.
I think...
Which is a word that the orcs would never use. It's got too many syllables.
I think you could have some fun trying to, like, maybe... Not to the point that they completely lose their character, but like trying to clean up the silhouette a little bit of the orc vehicles. So slightly less gubbins hanging off them. Although maybe you could do more gubbins, like if that's how you wanted to go too. But I think that's what I would go for. I would go for like a cleaner line on some of the vehicles and try and represent it that way. Or you could go mad and just...
That's what I would do. I would go the other way. I would take that dial and ramp it up to 11.
Yeah.
In the book it says, such loot is displayed as further trophies of wealth or else melted down to make everything from nose rings to gold-plated battle wagon rams or even gold bullets for sluggers. Like, gold-plated battle wagon rams. Like, just absolutely no need for that level of... showing off. But yeah, so like all the weapons, like add on extra barrel on, add a magazine coming out of, you know, the side of it, add just more things. Like, you know, when like Tony Stark sort of points his kind of arm out and then like a little missile thing comes out of the arm, then have a missile come out of the missile. That's what you need. You want like more rockets on the back of trucks, more barrels on guns, just like completely over the top.
I think you got the right idea there. Yeah. But I'm already doing a yellow army, so maybe I wouldn't go. I wouldn't go for.
Maybe you'd go for something slightly more blue.
Yeah, which is where we've got Death Skulls. So lucky blue, right? So this goes back to that thing. Orcs believe it and it happens. So they had really cool rules as well in a couple of editions ago with their lucky reroll. I really used to like that one. But your Death Skulls are your looters, aren't they?
Yeah, so scavengers, looters, and thieves to an orc.
Yeah, So I think you could have a lot of fun doing like looted vehicles with a Death Skulls army, looted kit, boys with bolt pistols, like hacked up Lehman Russes. And, you know, I've not seen any of the, I'm sure people are doing it, but I've not seen any of the like newer Primaris vehicles looted yet. That could be quite good fun. Like, I don't know.
I think for me, it's the lack of wheels that
would ruin it for you. It's just not orky enough.
Yeah. Like I've seen people like convert a, you know, a Tau skimmer or an Eldari skimmer, but like they tend to be like, mounted on tracks, and they're just it's the hull of a vehicle on a bunch of wheels or tracks. So I think perhaps the lack of wheels on those Space Marine tanks is what maybe makes them less convertible, but absolutely, definitely possible.
You just stick some wheels on it.
Stick some wheels on it, absolutely.
Stick some wheels on the Repulsor, why not? Oh no, that would look awful. Don't do that.
It would look amazing. Do it.
Yeah. But no, I think Death Skulls, I think I might do Death Skulls if I was going to do Orcs.
And you could definitely pick up some secondhand like tanks and stuff like that off Facebook Marketplace or something.
Oh, it's perfect, isn't it? Perfect eBay rescue type opportunity. Yeah. It doesn't have to be clean and perfect. You can just sort of have some fun with it for sure.
Now, interestingly, in the Codex, it lists, you know, it has this little break, these breakout things. And in the Goth section, it talks about Gazgar. It talks about Boss Zagstruck, who's one of my favorite Orky characters. Mm-hmm. He is a Stormboy sort of war boss. But in the Death Skulls bit, it has a little breakout thing in it, and it has Mad Doc Grotznik. Now, I was under the impression that Mad Doc Grotznik was a Goth because he was Gazgul's kind of doc.
Put him back together and stuff, doesn't he?
Yeah, twice, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
So, in fact, Mad Doc Grotznik kind of created Gazgul as we know him.
Mm-hmm.
So, once upon a time,
do you mean in his current form? Or?
Well, both, in fact. Mm. So he was the origin story and indeed the kind of final evolution. Mm-hmm. So back in the day when Gazzy was but a mere boy, do you know what? I'm absolutely wrong. I've just gone to the page and it says a Death Skulls pain boy by the name of Mad Doc Grotznik was close to hand.
There we go. He's always been a Death Skull.
Oh, well, yeah, that's me. I should, you know, trust GW to get their own lore correct. back in the day, Gazgul was sort of mortally wounded, shot in the head, and Mad Doc Grotznik, when he was a Death Skull's pain boy, put a sort of a adamantine kind of cranium, bionic cranium thing on, right? Bionic head, and that kind of sent Gazgul, like, I think that unlocked his sort of latent psychic powers. Mm-hmm. And then he starts seeing these visions sent from theoretically Gork and Mork, and then that kind of sets him on the war path, as it were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not just for a planet, but for the whole galaxy.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, that comes later. But yeah, so he starts to, he then goes to like Armageddon, you know, second and third Armageddon wars. Like again, this is peak childhood, teenage, kind of late childhood, early teenage years, kind of the wars for Armageddon in White Dwarf and stuff like that. So yeah, like huge amount of nostalgia for, you know, Gazgul as a character as well. And, you know, I had the original Gazgul model that was out in second edition. I say the original, I think maybe that was the second one, actually. I think there was one before. But anyway, by the way, I had the second edition one. And then there was the one that came out with the Armageddon War, which I never owned, but always kind of like coveted and lusted after because it was like too expensive for my pocket money and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But yeah, so and then later down the line, after sort of in the kind of Gork's Grin / Circatrix Maledictum kind of era, the Indomitus era, Ragnar Blackmane of the Space Wolves chops his head off.
Mm-hmm.
He kills him. Well, he doesn't kill him, he chops his head off.
No, you can chop an orc's head off and they still live, can't you?
Yeah, absolutely. So
just sew it back on.
Mad Doc Grotznik gets his head and he basically builds him into the suit that he is now in. So the model that we now see is
the enormous one. Yeah.
The enormous one. It's no look because, you know, he was previously in like heavy armor, wasn't he? He was previously wearing a suit of armor. Now he is the suit. He's more machine than orc now.
he also did a pretty good number on Ragnar, didn't he?
He did. In fact, he mortally wounded Ragnar Blackmane, and that's when he went off to
be a Primaris.
The Rubicon Primaris, yeah.
Yeah. I think Gazgul's a really cool character. I love the I think in the new book, it's got the best description of a war that I've ever read or come across.
The little two-pager right at the start?
Yeah. Where
Hold that thought. Okay, I will. Right, can we hold that thought? Yeah. Because that's what I was referring to earlier. And I want to cover this because it's super important. Yeah.
Yeah, go for it.
But yeah, so another interesting thing about Grotsnik is that he himself has been decapitated and recapitated, which is a word. It was used in the codex. I was like, recapitated? And I had to look it up. It is technically an English word, so there we go. So he himself has been recapitated. Basically, the story goes, after Mad Dog Grotsnik, you know, does this metal head conversion on Khazgul, Khazgul then rises to power and becomes a celebrity amongst orcs, you know, a war boss of some repute. Mm-hmm. And suddenly, lots of knobs are like, oh yeah, I want a Khazgul special, you know, get me a metal head. So Mad Dog Grotsnik's running a great business in doing the Khazgul specials. But he installs like a kill chip in these bionic heads that he's giving all these knobs. So the knobs ever cross him or narc him off, he just like explodes their head, which is, first of all, A, very orky, love it.
It's very, very cunning.
Oh yeah, very cunning and a little bit brutal. But yeah, very, very morky of him rather than gawky. But anyway, so the surviving knobs kind of cotton onto this and they're like, yeah, we're not having this. So they convince him to come and, you know, try and fix a death dread. But the death dread is not broken and the death dread like pins him down and chops his head off. Luckily, his orderlies are around and his orderlies kind of convey him back to the surgery. And they kind of stitch his head back together. One of the grots like throws up in his head, his decapitated head, like a spider crawls into his head and stuff like that. He just, he basically then wakes up, you know, I can just imagine him like, you know, coming to from this kind of surgery. And he is absolutely batshit crazy, like completely bonkers, a complete sadist and just, yeah, mad. So not only has he put Gaskell's head back on an orc mechie body, but he himself has been recapitated as well.
Does he have a model, Grotsnik?
He used to have a model. It's not a particularly great model in terms of... I don't think it's survived the test of time.
No, it's not aged well.
No, okay. But personally.
Yeah.
It's a bit awkwardly posed.
Okay.
Orc. Woodley,
yes.
He's kind of leaning forward, and his body's all chopped up, and it's kind of he's got loads of stitches around him, and it's just very kind of its age.
The Pain boss model looks okay.
Yeah, I think you could make a really good Grotsnik out of a Pain boss.
Yeah, model, yeah,
potentially. But yeah, I think Pete the Wargamer did a really cool kitbash from the new Snikrot model.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He does phenomenal conversions.
Oh, yeah. You got to check him out if you...
Yeah, yeah. Really big fan.
Yeah, me too.
And I think that's the way to kind of bring these characters to life in the modern era is using some of the more modern models.
I'd agree with that. And that Snikrot model is unbelievable as well. That might be, oh gosh, it's in my top three favorite orc models.
Really?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Definitely. What are your other two?
I would go with Gaz.
Yeah, naturally.
Because that's stunning. Like, have you ever seen that in the flesh as well? It's like,
I built it this week.
Did you built
it? Yeah, like yesterday or 2 days ago. Amazing. I've had it since it came out and it's just been in my pile of shame. And then I read this codex and I was just like, yes. So excited.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Well, how was it put together? Was it good?
Yeah, so we did it in the evening.
Oh, brilliant.
It was just a really nice, like, wholesome hobby, you know, evening. I kind of, like, hung out with a mate who I haven't spoken to for a while on Discord. You know, we chatted about Warhammer and life and stuff like that, and I built an orc, and it was just,
that's the best.
It was just, it was cool. It was good fun.
Yeah, brilliant. No, so, yeah, Khazgul, Snikrot, they're in my top three, and the new war boss in Mega Armor.
That's really good.
With the, he's got like a grot on his shoulder, like operating.
Yeah, with like a kind of a pintle mounted machine gun.
Yeah, and like a you know, great big chopper, and such a good sculpt. I love it.
Talking of Snikrot, what clan does he belong to?
He's a Blood Axe, right?
He is. Tell us about the Blood Axes, Max.
So I like Snikrot's story. It goes back to Armageddon, doesn't it?
It does indeed.
The Blood Axes are the sneaky orcs, I guess, if you wanted to summarize them.
Yes.
And Snikrot is a very prominent there. Orc Commandos, they're called.
Yeah.
Amazing unit as well, by the way. They got a an upgrade, didn't they? With
they did, and what a glow up! So they the original Kill Team, wasn't it? Wasn't it?
It was the when the for the not the kind of 8th edition Kill Team, but the 9th edition.
So the sort of Krieg versus Commandos.
Yeah, they got their new models.
What a
there.
Box, right?
Yeah,
I don't new to, plastic it, Krieg and plastic Commandos.
I know. It was a good box. So yeah, they got their new Commandos. They're very kind of. They use their tactics more than their brute force.
They do. And they even use camouflage.
Boom. Absolutely. No, goodness me. But for War for Armageddon, I think it was going from Armageddon Primaris to Armageddon Secundus, right? The sort of second continent. They have to cross this huge, like, equatorial jungle. And Snikrot was the one that was tasked by Gaz to find his way through, right? Like, do the pathfinding to get a route through the jungle. He is the only orc that the Armageddon orc hunters fear, it says in the codex. I really like
that. Green ghost.
Exactly, yeah. So, ultimate kind of jungle guerrilla fighter. He's got his, like, Sam Fisher night vision goggles on, hasn't he?
I can hear that model when I look at him.
He is
Splinter Cell. He is Rambo. He is Arnie in Commando when he, like, it's not Commando. Well, also Commando when he puts the face paint on, but also when he, like, goes into full Predator mode and, like, strips back down and gets in the mud and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. But he's not very happy with Gaz. Is Snikrot. He's like, oh, well, he's buggered off on his galaxy-spanning crusade, and, I'll take Armageddon for myself then. So he's still on Armageddon, kind of on his personal quest to take it for himself now. So, you know, one sneaky attack at a time.
The Blood Axes, the cunning gits.
Yeah.
And then you've got the Snake Bites.
Yeah, what do you think of them, Dan?
I really like them for the Boar Boys.
Mm-hmm.
When we're talking about all this kind of nostalgia, they were actual Boar Boys. Now you've got Squig Hog Boys, which I love. It's weird because I love Squigs. You know, I played Moon Clan Grots in Age of Sigmar and, you know, Night Goblins with Squigs. Love that one. I'm just not a huge fan of the Beast Snagger range, which is weird because I love the idea of Snake Bites. And I love, you know, the original Forge World Squig Earths. I love the idea of, like, mixing in kind of some of the Age of Sigmar Squigs into your Grot units, maybe using... I've got a bunch of the Forest Goblins off the top of the Arachnorok Spider in my pile that I was going to mix in with some Grots to kind of make it look like, you know, some of them would have little sluggers and some of them would have bows and arrows. I've even seen some cool conversions of Seraphon dinosaurs.
Oh, really?
Used as trucks.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, but I love the idea of a snake bite army.
Yeah, they're the most traditional, right? Yeah,
the old ways are the best. You know, they are your kind of almost not quite feral. You do get feral orcs, and they are the complete kind of savages. Mm. But yeah, they're the kind of shamanistic totems and stuff like that, and fetishes, and yeah, like the kind of barbarian orcs. I mean, all orcs are barbaric, but they're that kind of thing.
Yeah, very focused on melee, right?
Yeah,
more so than. Yeah,
I like that. And then Beast Snaggers. I do wonder whether the Beast Snagger range has sold as well as perhaps Games Workshop wanted it to.
Yeah. The Beast Snagger boys felt a bit jarring alongside the regular boys. And it was, I mean, you know, it's, what's that? It's like two troop choices. You look at, like, Space Marines and they've got like 50, but whatever.
For me, it's the fact that the boarding patrol had Beast Snaggers in it.
Yeah.
So when Snikrot first came out, there was a boarding patrol with 10 Beast Snaggers in it, where I think the Christmas box set was Beast Snaggers for Orcs as well. And the new combat patrol is Beast Snaggers.
You're trying to push them.
Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting. Like, is it perhaps that they've sold really, really well and they're like, great, well, we'll just, you know, if we want to sell more, you know, we'll put it in this box and people will buy more. Or is it that they're not selling well and they need to sort of do a value-added box to make people buy them?
They're not a range that I would buy into if I was going to do Orcs. I'm much more interested in, like, the knobs and the mega knobs and the trucks and the things. But I do like the paint job that they've done for Scragbad with his big squig.
Great white squig.
Yeah, the fleshy squig. Yeah, that's a cool paint job. I really like that.
Oh yeah, he's got some really awesome tattoos as well.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, they're not my favorite. They're not my favorite side.
And then you've got freebooters as well.
Yarr.
Yarr. Pirate orcs, yarr. So some orcs don't fit into normal clan society. They might be a bit too mean and spiteful. They might have funny ideas about shiny loot being more valuable than teeth. Some can't get their heads around the idea that those bigger or meaner than them are the natural betters. Such orcs soon find themselves outcasts, becoming mercenary freebooters instead. So they're the sneakiest, nastiest, and most self-interest orcs in the galaxy. They're adventurers, rogues, and mercenaries. Interesting.
So we've got all these cool characters that get, a lot of them are getting like full pages in the codex, right? Of lore and story.
Yeah.
But there's not rules.
There's not. Right? It's really, this is one of the most disappointing things about the book, actually. Captain Badrock, full page, no model. Boss Zagstruck, full page, no rules. When I say no model, I mean no rules. The model is getting sort of last chance to buy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know whether you can still buy anymore. No, don't think you can buy him anymore.
You had a look. So, he's not there. No,
yeah. You can't buy him anymore. Maybe you couldn't have bought him. Maybe you haven't been able to buy him for a while. But the rules don't exist in the book, and I just think that's a real shame.
Yeah, like the models go out of date, and you know, whatever. That's just business, isn't it? That, no problem with like models.
Yeah, I mean, they've just shelved like 50% of the Stormcast models. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it's a shame, but the way we play in terms of being narrative focused, you can just be like, hey, I'm going to use this old rule.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I also think that named character trimming seems to be a bit of a trend in 10th edition. They got rid of a lot of named characters from the Tau book, for example.
They did. No Longstrike.
Yeah, no Longstrike, no Alnvar, and a few of the other ethereals were gone. There was a few lost from the Space Marines book, I believe, as well. Like, does Sergeant Tellion, did he lose?
I was just about to say, does Tellion still exist?
Yeah, so I think they are kind of like cutting down a bit on the named characters, which is I don't know, they've pushed the narrative, they've pushed the story a bit more in recent editions than they had for a long, long time, right? Like, for a good number of editions, it was more of a setting than, you know, you had like a 1,000-year period and you just played your games within that. With like the Fall of Cadia and Cicatrix Maledictum, they're definitely advancing the narrative a bit. And I wonder if they're getting rid of some of these named characters to catch up with the story a bit. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the characters are of a certain era, aren't they?
Mm.
Yeah, it's a shame. I think for me, it's kind of like, I would love to do a big unit of Stormboys and have a special character leading them, or like at least have like a war boss leading them.
Mm.
But there's no way to give, there's not an enhancement that gives, you know, infantry war boss model only makes him move 12 or something.
Mm.
And that would, you could just be like, okay, cool. Well, that is my way of having a Zagstruck.
Yeah. Because there's a few flavors of war boss, isn't there? But no, nothing with, yeah, no Zagstruck. It's a shame.
Or even like, you know, if you have just in the Stormboys unit, like if you have, I don't know, three units of Stormboys, you get to take a war boss for free, but he has movement 12. I don't know, like not for free, but whatever. Like some sort of like way to effectively have a war boss with a jump back.
Just make it. Just make it.
Absolutely. That's the spirit. That is the spirit. That's exactly. There's maybe like, oh, it doesn't exist in the game, but well, it exists when you make it.
Yeah.
So Max, I will be bringing a war boss and he'll be having a 12-inch movement and there's nothing you can do about it.
No, the two-up invulnerable save and...
Yeah, rerollable. Of course. So there we go. Those are the clans. Let's talk about the war that you were talking about there.
Yeah.
What is it that kind of appealed to you there?
Like, of course, I was familiar with the war as a concept. You know, from previous books and previous editions and everything. But that's the first time I've read it described as this out-of-body experience. Gaz kind of calls the war, and then he's taken to somewhere else in his head, isn't he? And he's like smashing planets with his fists and, you know, is it Morkor or Gorkor? Morkor or Gorkor, his custom shooter. He's like, you know, blowing up the galaxy and then comes back into his body and he's cut like this huge bloody swathe through the Imperial lines. And everyone around him is like screaming his name and screaming the war. And I just loved that description of it. It kind of made it more interesting to me than how it's normally portrayed or how I've seen it portrayed. You know, just a scream war and everyone gets fired up and goes for it. It's like a...
It's more than a war cry.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a religious, spiritual thing for them. And I think that's a really cool angle on it that I hadn't really ever considered before. It makes orcs more deep and interesting for me. And this is what I mean by, you know, where I was saying, like, oh, I can, like, the war, you know, when people, like, scream it at the tournaments and stuff, it's, like, it's silly and it's a bit of fun, right?
But, yeah, unless you're really hungover on a Sunday morning.
Yeah. But this book has added some layers to the orcs that I hadn't really thought about. I mean, it's the first orc codex that I've read cover to cover. That might have been an angle or an element to it that's existed for ages and I've just never appreciated, but... I really like that side to it.
Yeah, I completely agree. And actually, that little two-pager that you're talking about there was what really kind of got me thinking about how cool it would be to have an orc army led by Gazgul. Because I was like, oh, do I do snake bites? Because I've converted a bunch of the old Savage Orcs, the Warhammer Fantasy or Age of Sigmar Savage Orcs. I've converted them to be kind of... snake bite boys, and I've got a cool idea to have, as I say, like use maybe like a Seraphon dinosaur as a truck for them, and then it would be really cool to do like some commandos because they're such fantastic models, but they're very associated with being blood axes. But oh, actually, you know, do you know what, Evil Sons, it'd be really cool to have some like orc bikes because orc bikes are cool as well. And you're just like, I'm just thinking about all these ideas and different kind of very heavily themed things, and that little narrative snippet just basically sort of says you can do that all, they can all exist. Because Gazgul's kind of sat there, like, surveying the battlefield, and he's watching the explosions off in the distance in the hive, and he's like, oh, yeah, that'll be the Blood Axe Commandos doing their
thing.
Setting
off a nuke somewhere, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like, some bikes and vehicles zoom past, and he's like, oh, those silly Bad Moon Speed Freaks, what are they like? And then, you know, some beast snaggers zoom past in their squigs, and he's like, ah, those snake bites, crack on, lads. You know, I don't know, it's just, it kind of really brings that whole army together.
It's quite touching in a way.
Is it? Is it? You have a little tear in your eye there.
Yeah. It's quite a nice moment.
It's a beautiful moment.
He's proud, isn't he? Gaz is proud, yeah.
Big Daddy Gaz.
Yeah.
So yeah, so it got me kind of interested in seeing what that army looks like on the battlefield. You know, how to paint a cohesive army with lots of different elements on it. So do I paint them all as goths, but they have red checks for the speed freaks and kind of blue blue checks for the deaths for the looters, you know, that kind of thing? Or do I just paint them all however I want and more go for kind of like a neutral scheme, so sort of more browns and grays to tie them all together? Or do I just fully embrace it and just say, you know, like, yeah, these are the yellow ones, they're the baboons, these are the red ones, they're the red suns?
That's what I would do.
Just paint them as they are,
have a real menagerie. Yeah,
yeah.
And then you've got an excuse to collect 10,000 points of them as well and have a 2,000 point list.
Dangereux.
Dangereux. <Yeah.
laughs> Oh, dear. Yeah, yeah. I mean, if I had to collect only one army in the whole of 40K, it would either be Astra Militarum or Orcs.
It's a really good shout.
Like, and actually, to be fair, I think Orcs would pip Astra Militarum because you could take any Astra Militarum model, like, orcify it, stick an orc in the top hatch, and you could just run it as Astra Militarum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got a lot of ways to play as well, haven't they?
Oh, for sure. There's so much scope for some cool things. And actually, do you know what? Like, I think on the inside cover, you know, just after the content, not cover per se, but like just after the contents, just before that kind of two page that we're talking about, there is that army. You know, Gazgul leading a squad of mega armored knobs in black, and then behind him, he's got the beast snaggers, and behind them, there's the evil sons, and then. You just said right of them, you've got like the Bad Moons. Oh, sorry, I'm getting my Evil Sons and Bad Moons the wrong way around. But yeah, you see what I mean? Like that whole army, it doesn't look uncohesive because you've got a consistent color there and it's green.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think looking at that photo spread, that does look really, really good together, doesn't it?
Doesn't it just?
Yeah.
Even there, you've got like a Bad Moon. You've got a trio of Bad Moon, Gorkonaut, and Morkonauts. And next to it, you've got a Goth Gorkonaut or Morkonaut, whichever one it is. And it doesn't look out of place, you know?
Nah. And there's Gaz with his Meganobs as well. Yeah. That's what speaks to me.
Yeah.
That Meganobs. Elite. I like elite orcs.
The like death wing spelt with two Fs.
Are you shocked that the Custodes player likes the elite orcs?
Oh yeah. Who does elite shock troops better, Max, in these two galaxies? Is it orcs or is it Custodes?
Don't get me started.
Oh no. Right, let's talk about these lists then. Because you've just alluded to there sort of the vibe of the army you want to do. So tell us about your list.
Yeah, okay, I will do. So, looking through the rules here, I could have picked any of these detachments. Everyone was like, ooh, that's interesting. Like, there's some real crackers in here, right? But they've kept their army rule from the index. So once per battle, at the start of the battle round, you can call a war. And if you do, until the start of your next battle round, it's active for your army. That lasts, you know, like we were talking about in the Custodes Codex review. It's one of those abilities that you could call in your opponent's turn, and you get the defensive benefits, and then it's still active in your turn, and you get the offensive benefits as well, and vice versa. So the war gives units from your army the ability to charge and advance, which is really nice. It adds one to the strength and attacks characteristics of melee weapons equipped by your army, and it also gives your army a 5-up invulnerable save. So it's kind of like a triple threat, isn't it? You've got buffed up mobility and ability to get into charge range, you've got better attacks when you're in there, and you're also a bit more survivable. Your hordes of boys and stuff are a bit more survivable. So a really solid army rule. And the detachment that spoke to me was the Bully Boys. So gathered together into an all-conquering mass of hulking brutes, the biggest knobs and their larger bosses, more orky than anyone else, their bellowed war cries louder, their self-belief, impetus and sheer presence, an affront to the senses, a violent momentum that can roll through entire armies in an unrelenting wave of aggression. So this is the elite detachment. And the rule is really cool. At the start of a battle round in which you haven't called a war, if you have one or more war boss models on the battlefield, or in a transport even, you can call it for a second time. And when doing so, only war boss knobs and mega knobs units benefit from it. So any war boss knobs or mega knobs unit, you get two wars for the price of one, which is really good. Because it's a very, very powerful army rule. And
so, especially if you made your whole army consisting of those models, then it wouldn't really be a filtered down version of it.
No, or absolutely not. A
watered down version of it. It would just be two wars.
Just pure two wars, yeah. And I've written a bit of a silly list that very much leans into that. So it's 2k points on the nose, which is always very satisfying. I've gone for Ghazghul, Thraker. And then I've got three war bosses, and I've sprinkled around some enhancements for those. So one of them I've given the biggest boss, which just adds two to his wounds characteristic. One I've given Ed Stomper, which gives his, it's the bearer, and each time he attacks a unit that's below starting strength, you can reroll the wound roll of one. If it's below half strength, you can reroll the wound roll instead. So he's kind of smelt the blood, and he's going in for the kill. And then I've got Big Gob on another one of my war bosses, and that gives me the ability to force a battle shock test when his unit is within engagement range, which is good. So, you know, you can turn off objective control and turn off stratagems for a unit that you're engaged with. So Gaz with three war bosses. And then I've got the elite infantry, so I've got a unit of six mega knobs, and that's where I would attach Gaz. Then I've got two units of five mega knobs, and then I've got three units of knobs, all 10. And then to fully kind of mechanize this, I've got one truck, and that would have 10 knobs and a war boss inside it. And then I've got two battle wagons. And they've got cannons, four big shooters, a death roller, an ard case, which makes them adds two to their toughness, makes them really hard to kill.
Honestly, ard case and death roller
Yeah,
for sure. Just makes the model look amazing.
And also including tons of rules as well. Yeah, yeah. And it just, yeah, it really rounds out the truck, doesn't it? Especially about Death Roller. So cool. And yeah, inside each one of those battle wagons, we've got 10 knobs, a war boss, and 5 mega knobs. So, I mean, you could push for a sort of turn 2 war, all out assault, and then hope that enough of your guys have survived and call it again in turn 3. So like a real kind of 1-2. But yeah, properly lent into the knobs and the mega knobs and making the most of that detachment rule. Really nice synergies with knobs. When they're led by a character, they get they're harder to wound, basically subtract 1 from the wound roll if the strength of the attack coming in is higher than the toughness. The war bosses buff them up in terms of adding 1 to the hit roll for the unit that they're leading. Gaz does a similar thing for the mega knobs as well. So everybody's buffing everybody, and everybody's benefiting from the second war. And it's just quite a low model count army for orcs, I guess. There's 30 knobs, 16 mega knobs, and Gazgul with the characters and some trucks. So not a massive footprint, but it's a style of army I like to play. You know, very elite, very punchy. Get into melee range and like have fun. Like the fight phase is always my favorite phase in Warhammer. So yeah, that's what I've built into.
That sounds really cool. And also, it's, you know, not a huge army. You know, if you take like a Green Tide army, you're painting orc boys for days, aren't you?
You are, and that's a really cool detachment though. But yeah, it's nice and elite, and some really 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 fun strats as well. You know, as you would expect, only really benefiting knobs and mega knobs. So you've really got to kind of lean into it to get the most out of it. Some of my favorite ones, there's a good one for reducing armor penetration characteristic for 1 CP. You know, if you're thinking about, like, you've got this low model count army, keeping them alive, that's always a handy one. There's one to increase your consolidation move, so you can kind of like smash one unit and then move into another. So there's that kind of good spread of stratagems as well for you know, kind of buffing and movement shenanigans, and that's what I like to see in a detachment, is that sort of range of tactical plays that you can employ.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. I think that gives you a nice, like a good degree of flexibility,
mm-hmm.
And allows you to play like a nice elite army whilst your custodians are shelved.
Yes. Hey, the orcs kept their index detachment as well, relatively unchanged.
The war horde.
Yeah, which must be nice.
Yeah. So I like that. I like that army, and I think you should do it. Yeah. I think you should do it. What color would you paint them?
Oh, now here's the thing.
So obviously you've got Gaz, and he's a goth. So mm-hmm. I also think a converted Gaz to be like a Death Skull Gaz or something like that would look really, really cool, like blue Gaz.
It would look good, wouldn't it? But is that a bit like painting Gilliman yellow and calling him Dawn? You know, does it dilute his narrative too much, or are you all right with it?
I don't know. It's your hobby, you know.
Yeah. Do what you want.
What's to say that that model isn't representing a large war boss, you know, another war boss?
Yeah,
just because it's the Gaz model.
Hmm.
You know, you just say it's not Gaz. Say it's, you know,
another one.
Trasgol Garka. I think that's what I'd be tempted to do. I'd be really tempted to do like a full snake bite army,
mm-hmm.
and convert Gaz to be,
oh, make him look really like savage.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he looks quite mechy, doesn't he?
Very mechy. Very mechy.
You could. What would be a cool model that you could base like a huge hulking?
I think you still go for Gaz, but I think you convert him up a bit. So I think you keep the gun and you keep the claw, just because they're such iconic parts of the silhouette. But I think you add some like totems to him. You put some like hanging skulls off his armor and stuff like that. Maybe a different head with like. Or get like some bones from, you know, like the skeleton kit or something, and just like kind of like hang them off his armor, put one through his nose or something, like a savage orc head or something.
That'd be good. That'd be good. We've not talked about Makari either, have we? Oh. He's a fun little addition.
he's basically like a free wound, isn't he?
Yeah, but he's got a 2-up invulnerable save.
That's what I mean. He's a free wound with a 2-up invulnerable. You take, so you know, take your bolt gun shots on Gazgul, and then when someone fires like a las cannon, you'd be like, right, this is going on Makari.
Makari jumps in the way. Did you catch it in the book how he's had he's had dozens of different Makaris, but no one's got the heart to tell him.
Yeah, love it. Love it.
Like a kid with the goldfish.
Yeah, absolutely. Interestingly, he used to have a rule that sort of halved damage or something, didn't it? Or he could only suffer, it wasn't halved damage, he could only suffer
yeah, he
a certain
could only
number
take
of wounds.
Like X amount of wounds in a phase, yeah.
That's gone now, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think anybody in 10th edition has that anymore. I might be mistaken, but I'm pretty sure they got rid of that with 9th.
Yeah, I think that's healthy for the game.
It was a bit frustrating.
For sure.
Yeah. Like, it feels bad when your flagship model gets, like, you know, your Demon Primarch or whatever gets blammed off the board turn one by whatever. But it's also really, really frustrating when, that's it, he's taken. It kind of breaks the game, breaks the immersion for me a little bit. Like, so why, narratively, can't I do any more damage to him? Like, yeah.
No, I completely agree.
So.
Shall I tell you about my list?
Please do.
So yeah, for my list, I have kind of taken, you know what I said there about converting Gaz to be a, you know, snake bite orc. Mm-hmm. Basically, I've taken that concept and just run with it. Obviously, unlike me to kind of take a theme and go over the top, right? but I have taken the theme of snake bite orcs and I have ramped it fully up to 11. Now, I have got a fairly, I don't want to say silly army, but like... I'm not sure it's going to be super, super good at the game, but it is going to look awesome, mm-hmm. right?
So that's half the battle.
Yeah, absolutely. It's 2,000 points on the nose.
What we want.
It has Gaz.
Of course.
Converted up to be a snake bite orc, as we discussed. It's got 2 mega knobs, because the battle wagon has a transport capacity of 22. Mega armored units take up 2 slots. Gaz takes up 18 slots. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you know, those with a master degree will be able to tell you that you can take Gaz and 2 Meganobs in a battle wagon. So I have done.
You could do some really fun conversions, because it's just those it could be like his personal guard, couldn't it? And
yeah. So I'm thinking of using Orc Brutes from Age of Sigmar, who are like the kind of like Meganobs of the Age of Sigmar world.
They the ones I love. Let's excuse my mechanical keyboard while I look these guys up.
Yeah, imagine like...
Yeah, those are exactly... with that. Yeah.
Yeah, imagine what Snakebite Meganobs would look like, and that's these guys, right?
Oh, I've always, always loved those models.
Yeah,
they're
so cool,
good,
aren't they?
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. Okay, I'm with you.
Okay. So because I love those models too, it would be a shame to have only Gaz and 2 of them, so mm-hmm. why not let's have another unit of them. So I've got another War Boss in Megarama, thinking of using... Again, one of the awesome Age of Sigmar models. So, Warboss in Megarama. I've given him, let's get this name of this Head Whopper's Kill Chopper, which allows me to melee attacks equipped by the bearer have the Dev Wounds ability.
Very good.
So, the detachment rule, this is Warhorde, right? The detachment rule is giving me sustained hits anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting sustained hits on it, on everything, and that's sustained hits 1. But for my war boss, he's getting dev wounds as well. A war boss in Mega Armor is not to be sniffed at, you know.
Oh, they've got some fantastic weapon profiles. Yeah, definitely.
He's got 4 attacks, 2 up, strength 12, 2 damage, AP 2.
Well, 5 attacks in a war as well, which is good.
5 attacks in a war.
Yeah,
and in a war, his chopper has damage 3.
Yeah, really good. Really, really good.
And when he's leading a unit, each time a model in that unit makes a melee attack, you add 1 to the hit roll.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think he's pretty good. He's got 5 mega knobs with him, and they're in a battle wagon as well. I'm thinking the battle wagons will be more crushers.
Yeah.
Like size wise, a bit over the top. Fine. Or maybe Forge World Squiggoths, like the mini Squiggoths.
Okay.
That might work as well. But yeah, I'll have to come up with an idea for the battle wagons. But anyway, that's that. And then I've got 2 units of 10 boys in trucks. And I think I'd use like a Seraphon dinosaur as the trucks. You know, have them like, you know, in the top. And these boys would be like Savage Orc models.
You've already done some converting for this, have you?
Yeah, so I've got these boys. So I own the Age of Sigmar, the Iron Jaws Brutes.
Yeah.
I would need to convert them up to be orky, which is just, I think, mostly kind of weapon, like putting some chainsaw-y type heads on top of the weapon shafts. So two units of 10 boys in trucks, a unit of 20 boys on foot, and they'd be accompanying a weird boy. I'd give him the super cyborg body, which is the enhancement that gives him a 4-up feel no pain.
And that's against everything, isn't it?
That's against everything, yeah.
Oh, must be nice.
I like the idea of the mad boys. So this is something like early on in the book. It says, where most weird boys would quite like to be left alone, some become addicted to the danger and exhilaration of battle. Reveling in the rush and venting up their built-up powers, these so-called warp heads seek out the very thickest press of battle, intentionally supercharging their tortured brains and unleashing devastating shockwaves of supernatural force upon the foe. Equally, there are those orcs who, possibly due to some quirk in their biology, are a few squigs short of a swarm. Known collectively as mad boys, they behave in strange and erratic ways, wearing all manner of overly colourful and outlandish garb. They have also been known to wield everything from dismembered limbs and metal chair legs to stuff squigs in battle. Mad boys are drawn to weird boys, despite the risks they present, and whether they like it or not, often form impromptu retinues for the luckless odd boys. So I love the idea of a weird boy, again, probably using an Age of Sigmar Auric model.
Yeah,
they have like a shaman-y kind of model with like loads of smoke coming out. I can't remember the is it a weird knob shaman? I think that the model's name is, and like 20 boys, you know, just like following him around, chanting around, and he's got a psychic power called Dad Jump. Yeah. Once per turn, at the end of your movement phase, one weird boy from your army can use this ability. If he does, roll 1d6. On a 1, you suffer d6 mortal wounds. On a 2 up, basically set up anywhere on the battlefield, not more than 9 inches away.
Always handy.
Like, I just think that's so cool.
That, yeah, having that as a constant threat, it like hems your opponent in, you know? Like, I don't want to leave that corner because you could drop your 20 boys in there and then, oh, there you go, my basilisk is being charged. And
Yeah. So we've got Gaz in a battle wagon with two dudes. You've got a Warboss Mega Armor with 5 dudes in a battle wagon. Weird Boy with 20 guys, boys rather, 2 units of 10 in their trucks / dinosaurs. I've then got 20 grots with 2 grot herders, what are they called?
Mm-hmm.
So grots, runt herds, that's the word.
Yeah.
So these days, grots come in units of 10 with a runt herd, or units of 20 with 2 runt herds. That's just kind of how it is. You can't buy a runt herd separately now. So 22 grots. Again, I'd be using a mixture of like the plastic grot models from 40k, as well as some like squigs and some like Arachnarok spider crew members. That would be cool. I've got 6 bikes, just so I can have some boar boys.
Would you keep those bikey, or would you do some?
No, they would be boar boys. I've converted up some old Warhammer Fantasy boars.
Oh, amazing.
And I've even got one of the Savage Orc Shamans on a boar models, so like the metal ones.
You're halfway there.
I know, right? I know. I own this army. I physically like have these models. I would just need to build them. Or finish building them. So I think I've got like 3 or 5 boars. I can't remember how many I've converted, but yeah, like cyborgs, you know, with sort of barnic eyes and like you know, orc bike wheels instead of legs and stuff like that. Yeah, it's really silly. It's great fun. 3 Defcopters. I was thinking of Seraphon, like pterodons or Ripidactyls, but with grots riding on them.
Yes.
That would be cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be funny.
That would be cool. And then 2 units of 2 mech guns, because I have some like old world orc lobbers and doom divers. And I just think I haven't really thought about what mech gun I'd take.
No.
I'm just kind of thinking of like what cool models can I use. I'd probably do like, yeah, rock lobbers and doom divers as these models. And then a mech to accompany these. So the mech guns are vehicles, and the mechs themselves can effectively heal vehicles.
That's good.
At the end of your movement phase, you can select one friendly orc's vehicle model within 3 inches of this model. You regain up to D3 lost wounds, and until the start of your next movement phase, each time that vehicle model makes an attack, add one to the hit roll.
There you go. So kind of like similar abilities to warp smiths and tech marines. And,
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
the sort of standard vehicle buffer that we tend to see in 10th, yeah. That sounds good.
So there you go. That's 2,000 points.
Wow. I need to see it.
I need to build it. So maybe that's what I'll do. But I've also got different plans. You know, I'd love to do like a different army with loads of cool other models, like, you know, with Dacker jets and things like that. So yeah. So lots to be toyed around with.
We've not even spoken about some of the other amazing detachments in here. Like, there's just right. Is this the best codex yet? Do you think?
I think so. For me, yeah. It is. Yeah. For sure.
I'd have to agree. Like, this is an army that I have had no interest in previously. I had opinions that they were a bit silly. And I'm seriously thinking about building this elite Gaz and his knob retinue list. And, you know, like, completely turn me around on him. And every detachment is interesting. There's not any, like, you know, some of them are obviously better than others, but there's no, like, completely lame ducks in there. I think it's the best one yet, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a fantastic detachment, which we've completely ignored, which is the Dread Mob. And the reason we're doing that is because Steve, my illustrious friend Steve, previously of Ashes of the Imperium, has agreed to come back onto the show to talk all about Dread Mob, because it's a army concept that's very, very close to his heart. He owns a Dread Mob, and we will be talking about Dread Mob, talking about his Dread Mob, and we'll be building a list together to kind of do that. So we'll kind of do a little deep dive into Dread Mob in a separate episode in the next couple of weeks. But yeah, it's just a super cool detachment. But yeah, I think you're right. It's a fantastic book.
Well done, Orcs. Well done, GW. Well done, Orcs. Yeah.
Let us know what you think is the coolest thing in the book. Is there anything that you would have liked to have seen? You know, the missing special characters, things like that. Let us know in the comments what you like about the book and what you would have liked to have seen differently. And until next time, keep calm and crusade on.